You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM in Wardle, Ontario, radiowardle.ca on the web. This program is a part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Ivan Angelovsky. Black and African community in Waterloo region issued a call for community support for Irene Ekweozo, a law student and PhD candidate. Ekweozo was arrested on September the 20th after problems with her neighbor. But it's maybe best for her to tell the story in her own words.
My name is Irene Ekweozo. I'm a single mother. My daughter, she's 13 years old. We just moved to the region of Waterloo from Ottawa 3 years ago, and we've been living in this building for the past 3 years without any incidents. I'm a PhD student in law. I'm just completing my PhD. But before I moved to Canada, I've practiced law for over 20 years as a legal advisor, company secretary to a top government agency in Nigeria. I have my master's degree from the London School of Economics and Political Science. So I've pretty much been a lawyer all my life, but I've never seen the sort of thing that I've encountered here. We moved to Canada in 2011, and right away I went back into school. I've been in school for the past couple of years. My daughter, she's in eighth grade. I came here to do an internship on a scholarship with the Center for International Governance Innovation. And after I completed that, my daughter fell in love with Waterloo. And I mean, there was just no way to remove her from Waterloo. She has made a lot of friends here. She plays volleyball, so she's on Tigers team. So I'm pretty much a volleyball mom. So she's made a life here. We've made a life for ourselves here in the community. And it's been wonderful here living in Waterloo. So we have no regrets moving here at all. But in February, I mean, we traveled in December for the Christmas holidays, and we came back in February just before the lockdown. So I had some of our property was in storage at the basement in the building. So I needed to vacate the storage unit. So we were bringing up our things at about 10:30, 11 p.m. at night. So I had a trolley with me, and it was both of us, me and my daughter. So we had about 8 bags, like suitcases and, some boxes and, bags coming up. So my daughter was holding the door open for me to move the things into the apartment. So there we are, and this lady comes out from her apartment. She lives right across from me. She came out of her apartment. She was in a rage. She was already yelling at her partner who lives with her. The dog is barking. She's screaming. It was just a ruckus. And in the same rage, she turns on me. She says, why is there garbage? Why have I put garbage in the hallway at 11 p.m. at night? And I'm like, that's not garbage. She's telling me this. She's walking towards the elevators. So at this point, I'm almost at my unit, and she walks past going to the elevators. So when she says it's garbage in the hallway, I answered her. I said, no, that's not garbage. That's my property. We're just moving them back into the apartment. To my shock, she turns 360 degrees and advances towards me with her dog. The dog is barking the whole time. And she said, don't talk back at me, don't talk back at me, or I'll let my dog on. As she's saying it, she unleashes the dog. Like, I barely had time to push my daughter into the apartment and throw myself into the apartment just to escape from the dog. And we have roommates. Two of them is a couple from India. So when they heard us crashing through the door, they ran out of their room to see what was going on. So we were all like really shocked and shaking in the apartment that somebody would, act in such a manner. But I had to protect our property, which was still in the hallway, because I was so afraid that the dog was going to start tearing up our stuff. So I come out of the apartment unit again to see if I could rescue our stuff. As soon as she sees me come out in the hallway, she lets the dog, she unleashes the dog again, and the dog runs after me, and I throw myself back into the apartment. I'm like, okay, no, this is not happening. Like, I have to get the police, in on this. So I call the I called the police at that point, and her boyfriend, who came out and saw what was going on, decided to call to counter my call and called the building security. And the security came out. Of course, he read the situation on ground. He told me, look, these people must be acting under the influence of something, because this behavior is totally irrational, but let's just wait for the police to come. So almost 2.5 hours later, a police officer shows up at my door, and I narrated what had happened. He said, okay, he was going to have a word with her and then come back to me. So he went over there. I left him knocking for over 20 minutes, knocking on her door to get her to open the door. With the security right there. So I was still shaking. I went back into my apartment and sat down to wait for the officer to come back. So the officer comes back to me and he says, well, that she says I tried to attack her and that's why she unleashed her dog on me. I said, well, at least she admitted she unleashed her dog on me, but how was I trying to attack her? I had nothing with me, right? I'm just moving my stuff. So my hands were pretty much full. She was the one that turned and started walking towards me. But he said, oh, that we are not, my daughter is not an independent witness, so her account doesn't count, and that why should he believe me when he just met me? And I'm like, okay, if you just met her and you believe her, what does that tell me? I mean, you're inferring that you believe her because she's right. So my account as the victim, my daughter's account as an eyewitness, my roommate's account as, you know, people that witnessed, I mean, what was happening, and the building security that concluded that these people were acting under the influence of someone, our accounts don't count simply because, I mean, you choose to believe her because she's white. He said, well, that there's no evidence of a dog bite, so until I've, you know, been bitten by the dog, that there's no offense, that if there's an issue with the dog, I should report that to the Humane Society. I said to the officer, my fear is that this is going to happen again. So how do you protect us? He said, well, if it happens again, you have the right to protect yourself. I called the Humane Society. Right away, the person I spoke with, I don't want to call names, she told me that he's absolutely wrong. She told me there is a Dog Owners Liability Act. And under the act, she has used her dog as a weapon against us. And that in itself is an offense. So the police have to investigate that and have to bring charges as appropriate. I went back to the police station and I saw the officer at the front desk. So I'm trying to narrate what happened and he cuts me off and he tells me, well, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to be done. And I'm like, why? I mean, you haven't even listened to everything. I said, well, he's telling me now that nothing is going to come out of it. He tried to call the officer that was on the call that night. He told me the officer is on another call, but that he will call me back as soon as he gets off that call. Till today, I've not received that call. I've been waiting.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ivan Angelovski, and you're listening to CKMS interview with Irene Ekweozo and members of Black community in Waterloo about her recent problems with the Waterloo Region Police Service because of issues she had with her white neighbor.
So fast forward to the 18th of September, which was a Friday. I joined a weight loss group, so we normally count our steps. So I've been very compliant with the COVID instructions. Don't go out unless it's absolutely necessary. So I was just counting my steps in the hallway. And right away, she starts yelling at me that why am I exercising in the hallway? I ignored her. I just kept going up because there's no policy against that. She wasn't happy with that. They went out, walked their dogs, came back. She still spoke to me. I just continued to ignore her, hoping that she would leave me alone. The next morning on a Saturday, this was on the 19th of September, she came out again. She saw me in the hallway. They went out, came back. When she came back and saw me still pacing, she unleashed her dog. This one, without even saying, the dog chased me down the hallway and I got hurt in my stomach trying to, you know, run back into my apartment and I hit my foot. My foot was swollen. I never expected that. I never expected such behaviors coming to live here in Waterloo or even in Canada. It was something that seemed so alien to me until it happened to me. Right? So this is just, it's been a nightmare. It's been a nightmare. And my daughter made that statement. My daughter was like, Mommy, I can't understand why this person will hate you when they don't even know you. Why would she hate you so much? I can't explain it.
We're talking with Irene Ekweozo and members of Black community in Waterloo Region about her problems with Waterloo Police because of the issues she had with her neighbor. Now, these issues escalated to an incident, after which Ekweozo ended up arrested and charged for assault with a weapon, a broom, as police said. She cannot talk about that particular incident, per her lawyer's advice, but she says that the move by the regional police was quite surprising to her.
What surprised me was that here in February, I made this call and an officer shows up after 2.5 hours. But I watched these people take the elevator and they hardly were they downstairs. Then I heard knocks, like loud knocks on my door. And I see 4 police officers at my door informing me that I'm under arrest. I was really surprised by that response time, because I had to wait 2.5 hours and this person did not even wait 5 minutes there was a reaction or there was a response to that call. And another thing that surprised me was I had at least 4 people that were on ground when the situation happened in February and their accounts were not considered. My daughter's eyewitness account was said to be not an independent account. But here I am, this person that conspired, colluded with her boyfriend, and I'm being told that he is her eyewitness. So there's no talk about independent witnesses right now. So they're just telling me that he is her. And I'm like, how does that even make sense?
Fanis Juma is an organizer with Black Lives Matter of Warlo Region.
Certainly, Black Lives Matter has always been a focus to stand in solidarity with anybody who is experiencing police violence or discrimination from police on the basis of race. So our concern is also around issues of how this systemic racism with police services impacts Black women or African Caribbean and Black identifying women disproportionately, as well as Indigenous women in our community. And what we find is that our women face increased incidences of being criminalized and also not as much support when seeking safety or seeking to escape violence. We actually consider this to be a form of domestic violence because she's facing violence in her place of residence. And there's the same kind of stress that accompanies the experience of violence at a place of residence. So because there's really nowhere to escape, except for becoming displaced, which nobody wants to be displaced, especially during COVID. In that situation, there should be all kinds of responses from the system to at least investigate and ensure that Irene is safe. We've had reports over the years of women seeking safety and escaping violence and calling to get help. And we know it corroborates with the research across Canada that often when these women seek help, they end up experiencing criminalization in the form of either aggressive interaction with police at that moment, being reprimanded by the police, or sometimes actually having arrests and charges. The other aspect was that there's a minor involved. So we had a child involved. And again, there's all kinds of, as I told you, I'm a registered social worker, so that comes with a duty to report. So we understand that when a call comes in that involves a child, that again, the system has a duty to ensure, regardless of what that initial individual thinks, in terms of the legitimacy of it, that there is a process put in place to ensure safety and to follow up and to have that conversation with the child. And I don't mean just by the police, but often a social worker would follow up because there's an automatic call that goes to the system to say that a child was involved in a police incident. So none of these efforts were taken by Waterloo Region Police Services to ensure the safety of Irene or her child. So for me as a mother, when Irene reached out as a fellow African immigrant mother, it just struck me that the child was being put in danger. And I don't mean just by the attacks, but by the failure to protect the mother and by the failure by the system. And it also comes on the back end of having so many conversations with Waterloo Region Police Services. And given also Irene's being a law student, having this whole background as a lawyer and working towards her own goals here in Canada, it also sends a message that there's really nothing that people in our community can do to be safe. She is in her home, she is working towards her goals. And even in this context, she's not safe from racist violence or from unfair treatment from police.
Tapiwa Jabama sits on the board of the African Canadian Association.
the system has continuously failed these people after they've been attacked. Not just one police officer dropped the ball, but several, so many police officers, just on focusing on Irene's case, there were so many of them that that did not follow the correct procedure. And when things like that happen, you start to think, you start seeing a pattern where there is an intent on their part, where they're actually not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, intentionally. This happened way in February, and we are in October right now. They are back in their home. This could happen tonight. This could happen tomorrow. It could happen again while we are still waiting. The only thing that's happening is the victim, which is Irene, has charges laid against her. She's waiting to go to court. As a student who is studying law, if they have a crime on their record, this could, you know, adversely affect what her future, you know, the things that she might want to do in her future, because she now has a criminal record. They don't go back and say, hey, you know what? The system failed you when this happened, so we are going to overlook it. All they do is they look at a piece of paper and say, hey, she has a record. Our biggest concern right now is to make sure that, number one, they are safe in their home, and secondly, that the criminal charges are dropped forthwith.
Fidelia Otokina, the co-founder of Nigerians in the Regional Warlord Organization, says she's surprised by the actions of regional police.
I am very surprised. Again, this is very new to, it's new to me, it's new to the Nigerian community. Just in March this year, we were invited by the same Waterloo Region of Police to say, hey, we're trying to foster a good relationship between the police and the African community. We were very skeptical to accept that invitation, but you know what, we said, let's have an open mind and go sit with these guys and have a conversation. And you know, we were assured by the police that no, we want to really have that great relationship with the African community. So when this Irene's issue came up, it was very heartbreaking. As a mom, you begin to, you're worried, like, oh my goodness, I'm raising a child in this environment. Is this what they're going to face? Is this what I'm going to face if this happens to me and all of that? That's not a neighbor dispute. This person unleashed their dog to attack Irene. And the police was not even sensitive to that situation. They were not sensitive to the fact that there was a child involved in this case. So for me, it's really heartbreaking that, again, the police is showing us that they don't care about people of color. That when they try to reach out to us, it's just for photo ops and not because they sincerely care for us or have our best interest at heart.
Promiso Williams is the president of the Nigerians in the region of Waterloo.
One of the things I said to the police when we had the meeting was that the community is fast losing trust with them. The community is not really surprised by their actions anymore, and it's going to be a long road for them to win trust back within the African community and the Black community as a whole. Because the response to our case is too slow. It's almost like they don't care about what the community responds to or anything. For them, it's like whatever happens is none of their business, pretty much.
In an email response to CKMS questions, Waterloo Police confirmed that there were two separate incidents, one in February and another one in September. For the one in February, they say that on Wednesday, February 26, 2020, Waterloo Regional Police received a report of a neighbor dispute at an apartment building in Waterloo. The dispute was over personal belongings left in a shared hallway and an alleged attack by one of involved parties' dog. Police spoke with all involved parties and determined there were insufficient evidence to lay a criminal charge. Now, for the incident in September, they say that on Sunday, September 20th, 2020, Waterloo Regional Police responded to a report of an assault at an apartment building in Waterloo. The dispute involved the same individuals that reported a neighbor dispute on February 26, 2020. The victim told police that they were assaulted with a broom by a neighbor after a verbal altercation. The victim suffered minor injuries as a result of the incident. As a result of the investigation, a Waterloo female has been charged with assault with a weapon. The police doesn't mention the names, but the female that he's been charged with assault with a weapon is Irene Equeozo. The police says that the incidents are under review and as such they are unable to comment further. In their email, police says that they would like to remind the public that anyone with concerns about police conduct or professionalism can call to speak to a supervisor to relay their concerns or issue a formal complaint at 519-570-9777.
Do you still think that you have a place in Canada?
Really interesting that you would ask me that, because the way I felt about this, what I tweeted to Trudeau, to the Prime Minister, I went that far. I went on Twitter and I tweeted to him, because there he is talking about the ideals in Canada of, you know, equality, equity and all of that. And my tweet to him was that all I'm asking for as a single mother, an immigrant Black mother here, is just the freedom to raise my daughter in peace, without harassment, without fear. And I see that that is not even possible, because here you are thinking that if you're quiet, if you're humble, if you mind your business, if you just do everything you're supposed to do and avoid, you know, trouble, it will still find you. No matter how much you avoid it, it's still going to find you. And that is not something I'm prepared for. So for me right now, being here in Canada is more a case of, it's in God's hands, because I really don't know. Especially after I've worked so hard all these years trying to finish my law degree and get a job, I know what my goals are. I'm working towards my goals. And to have that snatched away so deliberately, so intentionally, it's horrible. It is horrible. It's not something I can deal with. It's not something I can live with, honestly.
The Black community of Warlow region has started a petition to help the case of Irene Equeozo.
We have called out for the community to stand alongside and support Irene. The voice of the community has been ignored by Waterloo Region Police Services, but we know that when we amplify our voices, they cannot ignore it. So we do have a petition. It's close to 400 names right now and contact information. We're asking people to go ahead and sign that petition. And that will be a way in which we'll be able to call the community to specific actions that they can take in support of Irene. We have asked Waterloo Region Police Services to document any letters that do come in and any phone calls, et cetera. And we're also reaching out to other elected officials. So our goal is really to see the charges dropped, to see that Irene is not impacted by this in a long-term way, or to mitigate that impact and reduce it as much as possible. It is not just a Black community issue. We get to choose what kind of community we want to live in. So participating in this petition is one way that we can really make our voices heard. And if that doesn't work, we will then take the next step of action and the next step of action. But right now, I just wanted to make sure that people know that that is one way that they can sign on also as organizations and let the Crown know, let the Waterloo Region Police Services know that there's a larger voice that is in support of Irene and the Black community. So the petition can be found on the Black Lives Matter Waterloo Region Facebook page. Just look up Facebook and Black Lives Matter Waterloo Region.
You've been listening to CKMS 102.7 FM. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo, and you can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover. The music was Black Room by Moby, thanks to MobyGratis.com. My name is Ivan Angelovsky, and I was your host for this program.